Thank you, worship team. Well, good morning again, and so excited to be back, as I said earlier, to begin to start a new year with you. And we're starting a new series today, and really Mitchell kind of kicked it off for us last week, but I'm calling it In His Presence. It's really my theme for the whole year is to come alongside of you and help you and me to understand just how we can begin to live in His presence every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, to be in His presence. And as we begin this new year, and I pray that you are more than blessed by God in this new year. Let me just ask this question of you as we get started this morning. And I want you to be honest with me. How many of you, if you're really, really truthful, you'd say, I'm a little bit relieved and glad that last year is gone? Yeah, okay. How many of you say that's real? I mean, I'm excited last year's gone. I'm ready to start a new year. It's been a tough year for me, or, you know, for you. Tough year for so many people. And so I just want to tell you and remind you that we are starting 21 days of prayer and fasting tomorrow morning and going for the next 3 weeks. Monday through Friday, we'll be in here from 6:30 to 7:30. Just encourage you, if you can, make that a part of your daily routine to do that with us. Maybe you can only do it one day a week. I encourage you to do that. Maybe you can't get here to this place, you know, to be a part of that, but you can do it in your place, wherever you might be, that secret place that Mitchell talked about last week, where you can come into a quiet time with God and a time of prayer, at your home or at your workplace or on campus somewhere, where you, just that hour or the beginning of that hour, you begin to give God your focus and attention. And so know that we're doing that, and we're going to be in, some of us are going to be denying ourselves something at different levels so that we can seek God spiritually. And we would love to pray for you, love to come alongside of you and pray for needs that you have. If you have any kind of prayer needs, I'd love for you to tell us, to write those on the prayer cards, turn those in as you go out to the Connect table so that we can come alongside of you and be praying for you during this season of prayer as we start tomorrow morning. And what I'd like to encourage you to do today, as you experience this message today, I just want you to, I'm kind of begging you to make sure as you leave this place to talk it over with one another and just, see what God has spoken to you today. And then I pray that you will bring some application to your life as you step into this new week. And so this morning, let's go to God's Word, ask Him to speak to us and as we start this new year. When I ask one question, I always ask this at the beginning of a new year, what is one thing that needs to be done in your life? What is one thing that needs to be done? I love what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love that. Whatever happened to you yesterday, you need to know we serve a God of a second chance. He's constantly under the backboard, and every time we miss, He just kind of throws the basketball back to us and says, shoot again. He's the God of second chance, and that's really important for us to know as we begin this new year. The 2019 can be the best year of your life. So whatever happened to you yesterday, you need to know that we serve the God of second chance. I want to start in the book of Isaiah this morning, the 43rd chapter, and God was actually speaking to the people of Israel, and it'd be great for you to read that whole chapter. He went through a list of very beautiful and very powerful promises, and I believe those promises that as you read them, God would speak those into your lives as well. But let me just read Isaiah 43, starting with verse 18. It says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." Many of you today, the Holy Spirit is going to speak directly to you to let go of some of the things that have been holding you back. Do not dwell on the former things or the things of the past, because God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can you see?" God says, "I am doing something new." God may speak very directly to you that He wants to do a new thing in this new year. Some of you may be facing something where you're going, you know, I don't know what in the world we will ever make, you know, if we'll ever make it through this, you know, how are we going to make it through this? You know, it's bad and it's hard and I don't see a way. And God may say, no, 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 I see a way where no one else sees a way. I'm going to do a new thing in your life if you will listen and if you can perceive it. How many of you, you have New Year's resolutions already? You've already made your New Year's resolutions. You're a New Year resolution person. How many? Raise your hand. Be proud of that. Nobody. Yeah, I've got one back there. Yeah. Wow. Some of you have already made New Year's resolutions and already failed, so you're not raising your hand, right? You say, no, don't do it because I just failed already. How many, again, how many are you going to make some New Year's resolutions? All right, good, good. I got bad news for you. At the end of January, 40% of you are going to be down and out and not going, you know, those resolutions are not going to last. You know, all of us have our new running shoes that we got for Christmas. I saw some of those already on your feet. And, you know, we got our new outfits, you know. And so I wish you the best as you begin this new year. But the reality is, and studies show that by Valentine's Day, 75% of us will have failed our New Year's resolutions. And why is that? Why is that? Well, I'm not quite sure, but I believe that a lot of us, we have maybe what we would call good intentions. You know, we have good intentions. But they're not necessarily God intentions. And there's a big, really big difference. Many of us, we've got some good intentions, some things that we want to accomplish, right? And I want to challenge you this year to go beyond just having some good intentions, something that you want to do, but instead this year, 2019, to have some God intentions, to begin to listen to the Spirit of God, to begin to live in His presence. Allow Him to show you one thing that He wants to do in your life. Instead of having just good intentions that are me-centered, let's have some God intentions that are God-centered. Allow God to begin to birth something in you and expect it to come about. Begin to see that He is doing a new thing. And I want to try to draw you to the best decisions of your life this year and today. What is one thing, if you changed, it would make the biggest difference in my life, in your life, and in my life? What is the one thing? Look what David said in Psalms 27:4. He says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek." And this is my prayer for all of us this year, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." If I could have one thing, he says, I want to be with God. I want His presence. I need His goodness. I need to know that He is with me always. If there's one thing I need in good times, it's God. If it's one thing that I need in bad times, it's God. If there's one thing that I desire above all else, it's to dwell. It's to live in the presence of God. And that's what I'm going to try to come alongside and teach us over the next, really, 2 months. How can we begin to every day live in the presence of our God? And Mitchell started us off last week, and we're going to continue over the next 4 weeks. The best way I know, there's two really great ways to begin to do that. And the first one is through prayer. To commit this year to begin to make sure that you're going to spend time with God in prayer. And as you spend time with Him in prayer and become more intimate in your relationship with Him, you begin to live in His presence every day. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about different ways to pray, different patterns of prayer, different prayers of people in God's Word that can help us become a people of prayer so that we begin to understand how to live in His presence every day. And then in February, we're going to go to the Word. It's just a series that we're going to focus on His Word, the Bible, and learn how to build our lives on His Word and understand His Word and trust His Word and hold on to His Word so that we can live our lives in His presence. So I encourage you to be here over the next 8 weeks, especially as we begin to step into that and begin to learn together how to live in His presence. So let's jump into prayer this morning. As I said, Mitchell kicked us off last week with prayer, but here's my theme verse for the next 4 weeks. Ephesians 6:18 says this: "Pray in the Spirit in every situation." In every situation. "Use every kind of prayer and request there is." And I love that. He says, Paul says, every situation. Pray in every situation. Before you pick up your phone, pray. Before you go to school tomorrow, pray. Before you go to work and in your workplace, pray. Before you send that email, pray. Before you answer that text, yeah, pray. Pray. Pray in every situation. And then he says, use every kind of prayer and request that there is. Every kind of prayer and request that there is. And you say, well, I didn't know there were different kinds of prayer and different, you know, kinds of, there are. There are, right? And so in this series, I want to show you prayers in the Bible and look at different ways that people pray, different patterns of prayer. Mitchell taught us last year. He's kind of like Jesus sometimes, you know. He taught us last week, you know, the pattern that Jesus shared. You remember the Lord's Prayer? It was the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, okay, use this outline. Use this outline. This is a model, he says, of a way to pray. And I've shared with you before, prayer is one of my toughest disciplines still. It's one of my hardest disciplines to really master. I've struggled with it really throughout my life. And I was raised in a good old Southern Baptist church, and I'm old enough that they were really, you know, they used the King James Version of the Bible and used all those words when they prayed, like, you know, thou and art and whither goest and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was the greatest King James language prayer in the world. And it was intimidating to me. As a little boy, I would listen to my dad pray and he would, you know, begin to say, thou, Father, art, go whither, you know, and I was going, what in the world is my dad saying? And it was kind of intimidating, right? Yeah, I grew up in Sunday school, and I had a Sunday school teacher, and I shared this with you, that loved to pray and loved to get us in a circle. And, you know, as a 10, 11-year-old boy, you didn't want to grab anybody's hand, especially a girl. You still understood that they were kind of had cooties, and you know, but he wanted us to grab each other's hands. And man, it was like, oh, my goodness, I hated that, right? And he would say, you know, you pray, and then squeeze the person's hands next to you, and then they will pray. And by the time it got to me, they had prayed everything that I had thought about praying. And I had nothing. And so, you know, they squeezed my hand. I'd always just squeeze the hand of the person next to me. Whew. I can remember as a teenager, I had a friend that went to another church in the town. And every New Year's, they did this New Year's Eve. They did this all-night prayer thing. You know, I mean, not all night, but it started like at, you know, 8 o'clock and went till after midnight. And I was going, oh, my goodness. I mean, I can't even pray for 5 minutes. How are we going to pray all night long? And I've always been intimidated with prayer, and I bumped into a guy in college. His name was Tim, and every time we prayed together, it was as if Tim was standing there with God. It was as if he was in his presence, and I began to discover he was. And he talked to God like he was his best friend, and like they were standing there face to face. So as a young college student, I began to say, God, that's the kind of relationship I want with you. I want to have that kind of intimacy with you, God. God, to be in your presence. That my communication, my prayer life, God, would be like I'm talking to my best friend. And so the pattern I want to share with you this morning is, I almost decided not to share it because it's kind of different, but about 13 years ago, I was in Birmingham with my oldest son, and I heard the pastor preach about this type of prayer, and so for really the last probably 12 years, I've been using it in 21 days of prayer. It's called the Tabernacle Prayer, and you remember when Moses was called by God, you know, raised up by God to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And I mean, if you've seen the movie Ten Commandments or The Prince of Egypt, you know the story. Moses called to lead 4 million Israelites out of Egypt across, you know, what is modern day. This is kind of the peninsula, modern day of Saudi Arabia peninsula, you know, and they were here in Egypt, and Moses was called to lead them out of Egypt and to the promised land, which is now modern day Israel. And really it would only take them just a few weeks to get there in reality, but because of sin and because of the stuff that they did and choices that they made, they wandered in this desert wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years. And it was always God's intention, I believe, once they got there, to build him a temple. A place where they could worship him and God could dwell. Because in those days, God dwelled in buildings. But today, God doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in us. And so this building right here is this, you know, this is not a sanctuary. You are in the sanctuary of God. He wants to live inside of us. In those days, he wrote his laws on tablets, but today he writes his laws on our hearts, and he wants to live inside of us, inside of you. So on this journey, they took what they called a portable temple with them, called a tabernacle. This is kind of a picture of it here. It was just a tent structure, and you had the outer court areas, and then you kind of take steps into the smaller tent, into that little room there, and do some other things, and then step through those last curtains there into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. God was leading them. A cloud by day, a fire by night, and he would stop and dwell in the tabernacle, a portable temple. Exodus 25, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 25, and I encourage you to read that whole chapter about the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle. It says this in verses 8 through 9. It says, God says to Moses, "Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you." And as you walk through this tabernacle, there's six pieces of furniture to get to the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God dwelled. And they had to take steps to get to the place God was, to be face to face with God. Exodus 33:11 says, "Inside that tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." And I love this part. It says, "Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting." Joshua didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay in the presence of God as long as he could. As long as he could. And I really believe that if you begin to understand that in your prayer time, that God is there, that he is with you, and that he wants to speak to you face to face as a friend, I believe your prayer time will become so much more important to you. Matthew 5:17 says, Jesus says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." He came to continue to give us meaning in those things. So I just kind of want to walk through the tabernacle with you today. Many sermons have been preached on it, and it's kind of different, but just allow the walk through the tabernacle to help us to understand a way that we can come into a prayer life with our God. The first is the outer court. As you've seen in that picture there, the outer court was there in the opening as you step through the tent. Psalms 104 says this. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." And so what they would do as they entered that outer court, and what I think he wants to remind us to do as we begin our prayer time with him even now, is to give God thanks. To give God thanks. How many of you are to-do list people? You are a lister. Yeah, I am too. I make lists. I got lists everywhere, and I don't accomplish anything on them, but I make lists, right? And so it's saying, before you do your to-do list, right, before you list the people and the things that you want God to touch and to do, before you ask him for more, you thank him for what he's already done, for what you already have. I've shared with you many times that gratitude is such a healthy emotion for us. It turns what you have into enough. I have some things I need, but Lord, if you never did anything else for me, you've already done enough, right? God, you've saved me. You've forgiven me of my sins. And so before I ask you for any, before my to-do list, God, I'm going to thank you for all you have done for me. So tomorrow, starting right here, I'm going to start thanking God for all that he's done for me. Every day I'm going to try to think, just one thing that I can thank him for that he's already done for me. And then the next piece of furniture that you walk by is the altar of sacrifice. It's where they burnt the animal sacrifices, because blood had to be spilled for the sins that were committed. And you had to walk by that sacrifice, that sacrificial altar, and be reminded that before you could approach God, something had to die for that to happen. And so for you and me, I think it's a reminder that you and I, as we step into our prayer time with God, that we need to give Him thanks, and then we need to focus on the cross. For that, for us, that altar is the cross of Jesus Christ. The only way that I can stand face to face with a holy God is because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And without this vivid reminder, I think it's easy for us to forget the vast gulf that is between us and God, a perfect God. That there's this gulf between us, between Him and between me and His perfect holiness. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I now can approach God's throne with boldness and with confidence. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly, confidently to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." Start with thanksgiving and then stop. I just stop. And I remember the cross. Romans 5, 6-8 is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And Paul says, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's what God did for me. Just at the right time, He saved me. He brought me into a personal, forever relationship with Him. Goes on to say that very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I shared this with you before. You know, if this place caught on fire, I know because of who I am that I would try to help as many of you as I could to get to safety. But if my boys were here, you better begin to find your own exit out of here, because I'm going to try to save them first. But God demonstrated His love to us, that even though I didn't deserve it, even though that I am a sinner, He allowed His Son to die for me. It's because the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions." It's this prophetic view of the cross of Jesus Christ. He was pierced for my transgressions, for those things that I do wrong. Nails were driven into His hands and feet. It says He was crushed for our iniquities, the evil that's in our heart. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. And I just remember what He did for me on that cross. That by His wounds, that I am healed. And not just physically, but physically. But by every dis-ease that I have in my life. Physically, relationally, emotionally, spiritually. He's healed me through the blood of Jesus. And sometimes in that moment, at that place, I'll just stop and begin to sing and worship. And maybe sing, you know, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." It's because of Jesus. It's because of what He was willing to do on the cross. And then I can step to the next piece of furniture. The bronze basin, or this bowl of water. It was made of like a bronze, and when you looked into it, they say you could see your reflection, and so it was just a place for you to wash your hands before you approach God. And so I just call that for us, for you and me, to come clean. So in that moment, I just come clean, and I begin to offer every part of my life to God. And I just kind of walk through from top to the bottom and say, "God, I give You my mind. God, take captive every thought. Guard my thoughts, oh God." And then, you know, Philippians 4:18 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And then I go to my eyes. And as Job prayed, "God, I want to make a covenant with my eyes that I won't look on anything with lust. God, help me to make that covenant with my eyes today. And then my mouth, you know, or my ears. And I say, God, only your voice. God, get rid of anything that is in the way of me being closer to you. I want to decide this year to get rid of every distraction that keeps me out of your presence, God. Whatever that might be. And then my mouth. I usually pray Ephesians 4:25. God, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And then my hands. God, help me to serve those in need. My feet. God, I just pray that you would order every one of my steps today. Direct the steps of me, O God. And really, this comes from Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, to offer your bodies, every part of you, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then I step to the next piece of furniture, the candlestick. The candlestick, you know, it represents, I think, the fire, the power, the anointing of God through the Holy Spirit. So it reminds me today, reminds us today to invite the Holy Spirit. To invite the work of the Holy Spirit into my life. I say, God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up so I can begin to fulfill the calling that you have on my life. God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit so that I can begin to use the gifts that you have given to me. You know, just kind of, God, fan the flame of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Give me a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, God. And I just invite the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. 2 Timothy says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God, just blow the wind of your Holy Spirit inside of me. And then I step to the table of bread. Some people call it the show bread, the shoe bread. And it's just this table. And on the table, as you walked in, there would be 12 freshly baked loaves of bread, representing, you know, one loaf for each tribe of Israel. Can you imagine the smell of that as you walked into the room? How many of you have been to Born and Bread here in Lakeland? Yeah. I mean, people love some bread now. You go to that place, it's like all the way around the block. And I just drive by. I never go in because I'm going like, what? Really? Is it that good? I mean, is it the taste? Is it the smell? You know, what is it? I mean, the line's all the way up and around South Florida Avenue. And I just can imagine that as you walk into that room, that just the smell of the fresh bread. And for you and me, it's a reminder to go to the Word of God, to begin to claim the promises of God's Word. I think it represents the spiritual nourishment that God offers us through His Word. Could you imagine that if we had as much excitement that we would stand in line for an hour or more in order to come and be consumed and to feed on God's Word? And so I say, God, in that moment, I just pray, God, fill me with your word. And I begin to read my scripture reading of that day and just ask God to let his word be my standard. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I just read my scripture reading that day. I do the one-year Bible where I read a little bit of Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. It takes about 15 minutes. And I just kind of read God's Word and just begin to pray God's Word and begin to ask God to hide His Word in my heart so that I don't sin against Him today. You ever thought about how much time we spend on social media? Anybody check their social media minutes at the end of each day? I just begin to think, wow, maybe we ought to fast some of that and replace it with reading God's Word and consuming the freshness and the nourishment of God's Word in our lives. Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray." Then I come to the altar of incense, and this one's kind of, you know, weird for me. It was just an altar that had coals on the bottom of it, and it would just, you know, an incense that it would be God's special incense, right? It would just come up. I just have this image as you walked into the tent, it'd be like stepping into Bath and Body Works or something like that. How many men went to Bath and Body Works this Christmas? Come on now, those are good stocking stuffers. But man, sensory overload right there. I mean, my nose is screaming when I walk out of that place, you know. But I just think of just the incense, you know, the sweet aroma that God, to God, that He wants. You know what I think the sweetest smell to God is? I think it's worship. It's our worship. And so in this place right here, I just put worship His name. Thanksgiving is praising Him for what He has done, but we worship Him for who He is. Psalms 95 says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." Just to kneel down and begin to worship. Worship your God. Allow Him to smell that sweet aroma of your worship going out to Him. And I just sometimes just pray the names and worship the names of God, that right there, of Jesus, my provider, you know, my banner that goes before me, my shepherd. And I just, you know, because here's what I know. A person's worth is found in His name. As Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are saved. So I just begin to pray and worship Him, share His name of who He is to me. I have boys, and sometimes boys don't communicate, adult boys especially don't communicate with you very often. I mean, you it's a special day when you get a text from your boys. and sometimes the texts I love the most are those that where Hunter or Jake will just say, "Love you, Dad." Right? And that's all they say, right? "I love you, Dad." And man, it's like, whew. They don't want anything from me, right? I mean, even though they know that I would give them anything, they just say, they want to tell me that they love me. They are declaring my worth to them. And that's worship, right? That's what we do to our God. And so I give thanks. I focus on the cross. I just come clean. God, wash me up. And I invite the Holy Spirit to stir up inside of me. And I go to the Word. And I just worship Him. I worship Him. And then I'm ready to enter into the presence of my God. You know, I've taken care of myself, and now I come into His presence and face to face with Him. And you know what we do there in His presence? After we've taken care of everything else about us, it's there that we begin to intercede for others. We just begin to intercede for others. You go there and make your case for God on behalf of someone else. It's the Ark of the Covenant. It's there. Did we show a picture? Yeah, and you know, it's got the two angels that cover their face with wings. And right there in the middle is called the mercy seats, the presence of God. And I kind of just step into the very presence of God and begin to intercede for others. I go there to make your case. You know, go make my case for God on behalf of someone else. And that's what I do for my family and my friends. That's what I do for you guys. I step into the presence of God and I just begin to pray and intercede for you. And pray for your marriages and your families and your friends, your relationships, the stuff going on in your life. pray for the ministries of the church that God has given this church. I pray for, you know, that God would use the different ministries that we support and that we come alongside to do His work. And I just intercede on your behalf to my God. Every day I start with family on Monday, friends on Tuesday, ministries on Wednesday, leadership, ministry, leadership on Friday. I begin to pray for our leaders, for the leaders of this church, for the leaders of our country, and just intercede on the behalf of others. 1 Timothy 2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quietful lives in all godliness and holiness. Here's what I began to discover. I just wrote these down. Just foundational truths that I begin to discover as I spend time in prayer with my God. I begin to discover these truths about living in His presence. Let me just share them with you. Here's what it means to me to live in His presence. God is always present and active in my life whether or not I see Him. Coming to recognize and experience God's presence is a learned behavior. I can cultivate it through prayer and through being in His Word. My task is to meet God in this moment. I wrote, I'm always tempted to live outside this moment, and when I do that, I lose my sense of God's presence. Sometimes God seems far away for reasons I don't understand. And then I wrote, those moments too are opportunities to learn. Whenever I fall, I can always start again right away. No one knows the full extent to which a human being can experience God's presence. My desire for God ebbs and flows, but His desire for me is constant. Every thought carries a spiritual charge that moves me a little closer or a little farther from my God. Every aspect of my life, work, relationship, hobbies, errands, is a genuine interest to God. My path to experiencing God's presence will not look quite like anyone else's. And then this is what I struggle with sometimes. Straining and trying too hard do not help. And so I've decided this year, and I encourage you to prioritize the presence of God in all of my life, in all of your life. Monday through Sunday, I'm going to live my life as a God-first kind of life, as Him being the center of my life, living in His presence. And so prayer is so crucial for it to be our first response. Our first response each and every day to come and to give thanks. And then just stop and focus on the cross. And then come clean. Just allow Him to wash you. Come clean in your relationship with Him and others. And then invite the Holy Spirit to begin to do His work inside of us. And go to the Word and allow the Word to empower us, prepare us to fulfill His calling on our lives, and then worship Him. Worship Him for who He is, and then intercede for others. It's just a pattern of prayer that I think brings us into the very presence of a holy God. And it's in His presence that we're able to begin to be used by Him to make a difference in our own lives, in our own relationships, but also a difference in other people's lives and other relationships that God brings. And so as we step in 2019, let's begin to step into it with prayer, coming into the very presence of God and committing and prioritizing to live in His presence every moment of our lives. Will you do that? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You that You are a God that created us to be with You and for You to be with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And so, God, as we step into 2019, it's my prayer for each and every one of us here in this room that, God, we would begin to have a desire and we would begin to prioritize our lives in a way that we would live in your presence, Father, every moment of our lives. God, that we would begin that by coming to you in prayer in every situation. Before we do anything else, God, that we would come to you and talk to you and pray and seek you. Thank you, God, for the patterns of prayer that you give us in your word. God, may we use those, God, to really draw closer to you and become more intimate in our relationship with you. So that, God, you can use us and empower us and fill us to do your work in the lives of so many around us. Father, it's my prayer that if anyone in here this morning doesn't know you as Lord, as Savior, doesn't know you in that personal forever way, that God, this morning, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to draw them into a forever relationship with them, that God, they too may begin to understand of how you want to be with them. And begin to bring change into their lives. So God, help them to call out to you, and even right now, to pray and ask you to come in and be their Lord, to be their Savior. God, come and forgive them. Begin to change them with your Holy Spirit. Transform their lives. Give them the assurance that you are with them, that you will never leave them or forsake them. And begin to fulfill your plan in their life, oh God. God, thank you for being a God that wants to dwell in us, for wanting to be with us every day, every step. God, help us to be your people, fulfilling your call, using the gifts that you've given us to build your kingdom for such a time as this, in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.